A very good evening to you and welcome to the Cheltenham Preview live here on Radio Yorkshire. We're on DAB across Yorkshire. We're also online as well at all the www.radioyorkshire.co.uk and also via TuneIn Radio on your app. So we're looking ahead tonight. We've got so much racing to look forward to, which includes the Cheltenham Gold Cup, the World Hurdle, the Champion Hurdle. We've got so much to look forward to. It's very, very exciting because the Cheltenham Festival does start on Tuesday, the 15th of March, so next Tuesday. Now, I am delighted to be joined in the studio. I can't do a Cheltenham preview all by myself, so I'm delighted to be joined by two guests. The first of our guests is a regular to our Radio Yorkshire listeners, and that is our racecourse commentator, of course, Gareth Topham. Gareth, a very good evening to you. It's getting exciting now, my friend. It starts on Tuesday.
I think everything started ages ago, didn't it, in terms of the chat about this meeting. It's hyped for such a long time, and it's promising to deliver plenty, isn't it, next week. Really looking forward to it. Yeah, looking forward to trying to unearth a few winners as the evening goes on.
Hopefully we can tip a few winners along the way as well for our Radio Yorkshire listeners. And I'm also joined by another guest, and that is Channel 4 racing presenter Jim McGrath. Jim, good evening.
Bobby, what a privilege to be here in Radio Yorkshire. Fancy you dragging me, a Huddersfield Town fan, to Leeds.
Fantastic. It's great to see you, Jim. And just to mention as well what I was just saying to Gareth, it's getting very exciting now. Cheltenham starts on Tuesday. It's our Olympics, isn't it?
Well, it's pretty much jump racing's equivalent of that, and it's England versus Ireland, something that was begun really in the days of Vincent O'Brien back in the 50s. And when you think, Bobby, this moved to its, or began in its Cheltenham slot as we know it, I mean, it was taken place at various meetings before that, in 1911, no, I wasn't there, and it comprised just 11 races over 2 days, and three of them were sellers. Look at the difference now, look at what we got now in quality.
It is absolutely fantastic. Gareth, for you, what makes Cheltenham so special?
I think it's the fact that from the very start of the jump season, people are talking about it. And it's the one meeting out of every meeting that you have, every festival that you have throughout the course of a year. It's the one meeting whereby big races can still be trials for this particular meeting, for these 4 days, even though that they're really, really good races in their own right. It's got this sort of power, I think, over connections of horses, over people in general. It seems to have a power that no other meeting has, and for that very reason, I think it's very special indeed.
And Jim, what excites you about Cheltenham? Why do you think it's so special for the Radio Yorkshire listeners?
Well, to be honest, you have to go to really appreciate the vibe that you get there. I think Gareth would agree with me. I mean, it's like no other meeting. The only meeting on the flat that I think comes close to it for atmosphere is the Arc de Triomphe, where you get the English and the Irish as well as the French. Mm-hmm. But nearly all the big flat meetings, partly the crowd is corporate. Most of the people that are going to Cheltenham, yeah, there's some corporate people, and why shouldn't they be there? But most of the people that go next week are fans. That's why it's special.
They certainly are. Fans there enjoying four fantastic days of racing. If you are thinking of going as well, it does start on Tuesday, the 15th of March, and it runs through up until Friday. So many fantastic races to look forward to. We've got the Champion Hurdle. We've got the World Hurdle. We've got the Champion Chase. And, of course, we have got the Cheltenham Gold Cup as well. Just to let you know, we are going to be joined tonight by some special guests as well on the phone. In a couple of minutes time, we are going to be joined by Willie Mullins' son, and that is Patrick Mullins, who's also an amateur jockey as well. We're going to be getting the latest from Willie Mullins' cam. Also going to be joined on the phone at 7:30 by jockey Tom Scudamore, who's going to talk to us about his mounts, in particularly the horse Thistlecrack, who is currently the even money favourite to win this year's World Hurdle. And then at 8:10 tonight, we're going to be joined by Panny Brennan, who will be yet again partnering one of my favourite horses that I've never mentioned before. That is one of my favourite horses. He's going to be riding Q Card in the Gold Cup, and we'll be looking ahead to all the big races as well. So coming up now, we've got a little bit of music for you, but do stay where you are, because as I say, coming up now, we have got Patrick Mullins to talk about Willie Mullins' horses.
I've there's no retreat.
Sport on Sunday with Richard Shaw Wright on Radio Yorkshire.
I'm laughing because I'm just Sky Sports News is on. And,
oh yes.
Apparently, if you Google the phrase "Hayley McQueen, my perfect woman," it comes up with results.
And many results, as we found out, Rich. Many
there's
results.
There's three people in the studio, and two of them haven't Googled that, and one of them has.
Well, we'll wait and see who Googled that. I'm not going to give anything away.
Oh dear.
Sport. Music and roast beef.
Well, the first two will sort.
Sport on Sunday. This is Radio Yorkshire.
Join me Sundays from noon.
Yeah, so join Richard Shaw Wright on Sunday afternoons from 12 o'clock because he will be giving his show, which is Sport on Sunday, talking about everything sport from racing to football to rugby league, etc., etc. Now, I'm delighted to be joined on the phone by Patrick Mullins, who is the son of trainer Willie Mullins, to talk about Willie Mullins' horses. Patrick, a very good evening to you.
Good evening to you too, Bobby.
How are you doing? Are you well?
I'm in great form. I'm in great form now. Just like a child on Christmas Eve.
Oh. Are you getting very excited ahead of the Cheltenham Festival?
We are indeed. If you're not getting excited this time of year, you're in the wrong sport. So we just can't wait for it to begin now, you know?
And potentially, your dad has got 60-plus runners running at the Cheltenham Festival next week. Wow, that's some achievement, isn't it?
It's huge. You know, my father, he's been training there nearly, you know, nearly 30 years, and he's been building it up, and right now we have a bit of a perfect storm between, you know, a lot of enthusiastic and wealthy owners, and obviously the help of the likes of Ruby Walsh and Paul Townend in the saddle, and a great bunch of staff with Dick Dowling and Gail Carlisle ahead of it, so it's just, it's a bit of a perfect storm, you know.
And what horses shall we look out for then from the Willie Mullins stable next week?
Well, the Tuesday is a big day for us. You know, we have Min in the first race as the Spin Novices. We've been lucky enough to win it the last 3 years, and we think this horse is up to scratch. He's ran twice for us and won twice, and we're hoping that he can get us off to a good start. You know, it's important to get a winner on the first day. It just eases you into it and kind of settles the nerves a bit.
Great stuff there. York Hill potentially running in the Supreme as well, yeah?
York Hill, he's entered in the Supreme, but he's also in the Neptune, which is a half mile further. The Supreme is 2 miles, the Neptune is 2.5. We're not sure where he goes yet, but he's a horse with a huge engine. I won two races on him last year as a bumper horse, and I thought he was our best bumper horse last year. I wouldn't be surprised if he ended up in the Neptune, but as I said, the plans are up in the air. But wherever he goes, he has a huge engine, and he has to be taken very, very seriously.
And obviously, it broke out a few weeks ago that Faheen is going to miss this year's champion hurdle, so he can't defend his crown. Can you just explain to the Radio Yorkshire listeners what has actually happened and why he's missing the champion hurdle this year?
Yeah, Faheen, he won the Irish champion hurdle very impressively in Leopardstown there in January. And he obviously had a bit of downtime after it. And just when we came back and did his first couple of bits of fast work in order to get him ready for Cheltenham, he went a little lame, and we got the vet to have a look at it, and it turns out he just has a bit of a strain on his suspensory ligament. It's not a big problem. Hurricane Fly had it before, and you know, it's just bad timing. It's too close to the big race at Chanson, and likewise the other spring festival. So we'll just give him enough time. I think, you know, he's a horse worth giving the time to, and he should be 100% for next season.
So we'll be able to look out for him next season, and that's the plan.
Yeah, we're you know, quite confident he should be able to make a full recovery.
And We've got to talk about Annie Power in the champion hurdle, because it's been a really busy month for her. There was the question whether or not she'd actually run at Cheltenham, and then she was potentially going for the world hurdle. She had a prep run which was absolutely fantastic, a faultless performance from her, and now she's being supplemented for the champion hurdle. So how do you rate her chances?
Yeah, you know, we're very lucky that when Paul Heenan and Arda Fire were ruled out with injury, we were able to call Annie to step into the breach. She'd been to the festival twice. She ran the world hurdle over 3 miles 2 years ago, and she was just too keen. You know, she was fighting Ruby too much, and that told the last furlong up the hill. And then obviously last year she was going to win with her head in her chest, and unfortunately she jumped the shadow before the hurdle. The sun was quite low, and she just took off too early and crashed out. But she got up, which was the best result of all last year. And you know, she doesn't have a huge amount of experience for a 2 mile championship race, but we're thinking with the way she runs quite keenly, she should settle better over 2 miles. And we think she has the ability to win it. And she, on top of all of that, she's getting a £7 allowance because she's a mare. So she has a lot in her favour.
Patrick, it's Jim McGrath here. I'm alongside Bobby and Gareth Topham. With regard to Annie Power, Rich Ritchie was on the morning line about 5 weeks ago. And as Bobby said to you, he's sort of hoping that she'd run again this season. From that, she's gone to being favourite for a champion hurdle. Would you be worried that you've sort of had to rush her prep a bit?
It's not the ideal preparation. I think there was never any doubt over her running in Cheltenham. It was whether she got a prep run for Cheltenham. If she didn't get a prep run, she probably would have gone for the mare's hurdle. But the fact we were able to get the prep run into her, you know, meant that her preparation was obviously a bit more taxing, which is what you'd want for a championship race, like a champion hurdle. It is a slight concern. It's not the ideal preparation. But, you know, we're happy where we have her, and we think she has the ability to acquit herself well.
Hi, Patrick. Gareth Topham here. Nichols Canyon, another horse who seemingly has a great chance next week. Of course, the only horse to so far have beaten Faheen in his career. How would you rate Nichols Canyon's chances? Because he's had a similar sort of prep, I'd imagine, here, with the fact that perhaps the champion hurdle wasn't always the first plan.
Well, the champion hurdle was the plan to start the year with Nicholas. There was a line of thought that maybe the world hurdle could come into the equation, but we just thought he was too keen in his races, a bit like Annie. You know, if you want to go for the world hurdle, you need a horse like English Retriever, Big Buck, Barracuda, those lazy type of horses. Nicholas, he's kind of underrated. You know, he's won 6 grade 1. He's not flashy. He's quite small. He doesn't work very well at home. You wouldn't pick him out. But he keeps doing the business. Now, he was disappointing his last run, but he probably had a hard race at Christmas when he beat Identity Team. And obviously, he must have had a hard race to beat Faheen as well, even though I think Faheen probably wasn't at his best that day. I think at the prices, he's great value, you know, and he is the sort of horse that's won being our second string before, so you couldn't rule him out at all.
Okay, he's been seen to really good effect as well when he's gone from the front. Would that sort of be the plan next week in a race which might not have a huge field?
I would imagine we won't be hanging around with him. You know, he got beaten in Cheltenham last year in the Neptune over 2.5, and I think if we had that race again, we probably would have made the running with him. We tried to hold him up because of the extra distance, but I think he's probably a horse that is, as you say, best suited from the front. You know, he jumps very well, he's very accurate, and he's tough as nails. So I'd imagine he'll be up in the front rank, yes.
Okay, moving on to the Arkell, Patrick. You've got Dovan, who you was very lucky to state a victory in the Racing Post Novices Chase. Potentially, can it get beat at all?
Well, I mean, at Cheltenham, you know, you never know. I mean, my first memory of Cheltenham was going over as a 9 or 10 year old with Florida Pearl, who was our superstar at the time, and thinking it was only a matter of going over and collecting the Gold Cup. And of course he was beaten, so that's, you know, you always have that worry in your mind. However, we think the world of this horse. You know, he's a unique shape of a horse, and every question we've asked of him, he's answered emphatically. I was very, very lucky to ride him at Christmas, and you know, if he's able to get me around in a grade 1 2 mile chase, I'm sure Ruby should be able to get him around Cheltenham in front, hopefully.
And Patrick, talking of yourself, I mean, we could spend an hour with you asking you about some of these 60 runners. But what do you ride next week? Has that been finalised yet?
I'm definitely riding Uncle Junior in the cross country chase. He's 15, which is, you know, very unusual of a horse his age to be going. But I'd be quietly confident. It's the first time it's been a level weight race, and he's 20 or 25 to 1. Whereas Balthazar King, who he always finishes within a length of, is about 5 to 1. So I think he's good value for someone who's looking for, you know, one of ours at a bigger price. I'll ride one in the bumper. I'm not sure which yet. We have kind of 6 or 7 there. We'll be working them now at the end of the weekend, and, you know, making decisions then. And probably in the 4 mile chase, there's a few there. I think Black Hercules looks like he might go for the JLT, and maybe Pont Alexander, Ryder Frank are possible in the RSA. So that might leave me with the like the Measure of My Dreams in Sambermont. But again, you know, so many races nowadays, and then you have to take into account, you know, owners the likes of Gigan Sound and Rich Ritchie, what they have to think. So I've been riding in those two races, but I don't know what yet, I'm afraid.
All right, okay.
Onto the Gold Cup, Patrick. Potentially, your dad's going to have 4 horses running in this with Dom Poli, Vitor, Jacadam, and Cedar Jean. Got to ask you about Vitor. Where potentially is he running? Is he going for the Ryanair? Is he going for the Gold Cup? Or is he going for the Champion Chase?
We're keen to go for the Gold Cup. You know, we've never won it. And, you know, obviously we're going through a bit of a golden period of time for our stable. But, we haven't got our name on the Gold Cup. And that is the pinnacle in jumps racing. So I think if you have a horse that could win a Gold Cup, you run him in it. And as things stand, Vitor could win the Gold Cup. I know he got beaten in the King George, but I do think if you look at his form, the last 2 seasons, his form on spring ground as opposed to winter ground is much better. So I'd be hoping he'd improve for better ground. Also in the King George, he jumped out a little to his left and didn't jump with his usual fluency. So I think going back left-handed, you know, he should be able to make another few lengths with his jumping. And also, you know, I think we probably left a little to work on for a match. With Vitor, we've been working back in the Gold Cup. So I wouldn't be too worried that he got beaten in the King George. I'd be expecting a much better performance come next week.
Gareth again here, Patrick. Just with regards to the way he finished the race at Kempton, would you have any great stamina concerns with, of course, the stiffer track and the stiffer test of stamina next week?
Look, you're going to... We won't know until we try. Cardo Starr and Best Mate and Morva Trisham would have had similar stamina problems, but just because he's able to win over 2.5, just because he has that bit of speed doesn't mean he shouldn't stay. I know he didn't quite get home in the King George, but as I said, you know, he didn't jump with his usual fluency. He is better on good ground, and I do think there was a little bit left to work on. I think it's worth a chance, but like you say, there is a question mark.
And Cedar Jean, who 3 years ago was second in the Gold Cup, what's the latest with him?
He obviously missed 2 years. He won his comeback race, that list race in Turles, but he's been very disappointing in his last 2 races, and I'm not sure he's up to this level anymore. I don't think he's come back from his injury as good as he was before, unfortunately.
Okay, well, Patrick, thank you very much for your time here on Radio Yorkshire, for joining us on our Cheltenham preview. The best of luck for next week, and a huge good luck as well to your family. Enjoy.
Thanks very much, boys.
Thanks, Patrick.
Bye-bye.
So Patrick Mullins there speaking to us about what he thinks are the chances of his father's horses. Just want to say, Gareth, he's a great talker. He really is a great talker, Patrick.
Yeah, and some terrific insight there on some of the very well fancied contenders. You know, a lot of the horses that we were mentioning with Patrick there, you know, they're right up at the top of the betting market. So great to get the insight from Patrick there. Very honest and... you know, with a bit of luck, they're going to have a very, very good week. As Jim was saying earlier, they've plenty of chances.
I think all the snippets we got from there, punters at home that have been following the Cheltenham build-up, York Hill was backed heavily for the Supreme over the weekend and early in the week. Mm. Now, he's hinted strongly that that's not a done deal yet. It could well end up in the Neptune.
Yeah.
So if York Hill's on your shortlist, just hang fire until you've seen the decks.
Yeah, I think that's very much key there. Remember what you were saying about York Hill there over the weekend. Right, if you've just tuned in, good evening. You're listening to the Cheltenham Preview live on Radio Yorkshire with me, Bobby Beavers, Channel 4 racing presenter Jim McGrath and racecourse commentator Gareth Topham. You've just missed the interview, the fantastic interview, just to add, with Patrick Mullins, who is the son of trainer Willie Mullins. But don't go anywhere, because coming up very shortly, we're going to be looking ahead to the World Hurdle, where Thistlecrack is the favourite for that race, and Tom Scudamore is doing the steering, and he will be joining us next on Radio Yorkshire.
Uninterrupted full match commentary of every Leeds United game,
home and away.
So a very good evening to you. If you've just tuned in, this is the Cheltenham Preview live on Radio Yorkshire on DAB across the Yorkshire region, at online as well at all the www.radioyorkshire.co.uk, and also via TuneIn Radio for your mobile. We've already spoken to jockey Patrick Mullins, who's the son of Willie Mullins, telling us about all Willie Mullins' fancies for next week. You're joined by myself, Bobby Beavers, and I'm here in the studio with Gareth Topham and Jim McGrath. Now, what we're going to do now is look ahead to the World Hurdle, and I'm delighted now to be joined on the phone by jockey Tom Scudamore, if he's there. Tom, good evening.
Hello, Bobby. How are you?
I'm very well, Tom. How are you?
Very good indeed. Thank you very much.
Excellent. Well, just before we talk about Thistlecrack and potentially some of your other mounts as well, I believe you're on the way back from Carlisle right now, where you've only had the one ride. How did that go?
Yeah, I had one ride and one winner today, so it was a good trip up there. But the trip home seems a bit shorter than the trip up.
Absolutely fantastic. Yeah, well, we'll talk about Thistlecrack, who is the favourite for this year's World Hurdle. Now, he's won his last three, including over course and distance, when he won this year's Cleeve at Cheltenham.
Yeah, he's been very impressive in every run he's had this season. I think he's improved for every run as well. You know, he's the most solid form going into the race. And, you know, he's the one they've all got to aim at. Obviously, the stairs, the World Hurdle is going to be another challenge and test for him, but as I say, he's answered every question so far, and you know, I'm as confident as I can be going into a championship race.
I've got to ask you about the race, the Cleeve, because I was actually at Doncaster that day and I actually saw him win. Now, the ground that day was very, very heavy. It was very testing ground. But in the home straight, when he pulled clear, it just got quicker and quicker. And it was quite some performance that day, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Look, he basically just cruised around. He was a different league the rest of them that day, and has basically sauntered the victory. So he was very good that day. I think you could probably put question maybe the ones that have finished behind him, but he destroyed the field in the manner of a very good horse.
And how do you assess his rivals going into this year's World Hurdle? Because you've got Cole Hardin that won the race last year. Alfred Azobo is also going to be running too. How do you assess his rivals?
Cole Hardin, obviously, he's got to bounce back from some disappointing runs this year. He managed to do that last year. I think it'd be a different proposition, in the World Hurdle than he would have been in any other race. Obviously, Warren knows what he's doing with him. He knows where he's at with him. And you know, his run in last year's World Hurdle was stones better than any performance before or after. I suppose he's still got to prove he's not a one-hit wonder. But you know, I certainly wouldn't dismiss his chances. Alfred Azobo, he's been doing okay in Ireland. He won last time. The only time he came up against Thistlecrack, I was on top when Alfred Azobo fell at the last, to be honest. I was going away from him. So unless Alfred Azobo has got to improve, not only as much as Thistlecrack has done since then, he's got to improve an awful lot more, because I think Thistlecrack would have beaten him anyway, I think.
Gareth Topham here, Tom. He's held in seriously high regards by his trainer. Of course, there's been sort of things going out that he could potentially be a Gold Cup horse next year. I mean, when you're on board, does he give you the feel of a really, really special individual?
Yeah, he's just very straightforward. All the races you ride in with him, you know, however the race is run, whether it's a fast run race, slowly run race,
on any ground. He's just very straightforward. He doesn't give you, you know, it's strange you ride all these good horses, you think that you get on them and they'll feel different leagues or everything else, but you know, there's no sort of magic formula with him. He just feels, everything just feels comfortable for him. Everything that he's done so far, it's very boring answer. He's just felt very straightforward.
There's nothing wrong with being straightforward. with regards to the other races and some of your other rides, Tom, what are you looking forward to in particular?
To be honest, he's a big price, but I think Finnas has got a cracking chance, especially as Vitor's not going to turn up. They make Alfaroff favourite, and to be honest, you know, Dinas has always been, you know, they've met up, Dinas has always beaten him. It was a better run last time than the Ascot Chase, who was second, albeit beaten a long way by Silviano Conti. He hasn't been in the best of form so far this season, but I expect a massively improved performance for the Ryanair. And you know, he's not getting any younger, but I think that, you know, the way he felt at Ascot, there's still another nice big prize in him, and you know, the closer we're getting, the more confident I'm becoming that Dinas will, you know, severely outrun his odds.
And Tom, Dr. Harper's a horse that's been much vaunted in Cheltenham previews. At one stage he didn't look like he'd get in the Ultima Handicap Chase. It now looks as though he might. Do you know if he goes there yet?
I don't know. He's got two other options as well. He's the Kimio. He's also in the plate too. A lot will depend on the ground conditions. Obviously, it's all up in the air a bit. The ground, we had a lot of rain yesterday. It's been a drying day today, so I imagine the ground will be factored in by David, but I don't know for sure which race he's going for yet, whichever race he's up in. Obviously in his form so far this season over 2 miles, this form that he was over hurdles, you'd like to think that he's an improving type.
Thank you.
And I've got to ask you about the horse that I tipped and backed last year in the champion bumper. That was Moon Racer. Is he all set for the Supreme this year?
Again, he's been left in the confirmation stage, obviously. I don't know whether he'll run or not. No final decision has been made yet. But I've been very happy with the way he's schooled and the way he's done everything so far at home. Obviously, it's a big ask to go and do it first time out in the Supreme, but the engine still feels intact. It's a countless amount of hurdles, and I'm very happy with him. But obviously, you know, David will make the final decision whether he runs or not. And again, I don't know when that be made, but I say they've left him in there, and we'll just have to see. But if he does turn up, then obviously Min looks very, very exciting. But the way the champion bumper has worked out last year, you know, it looked like it was a vintage race, and you know, Moon Race is a horse with an enormous amount of potential.
And out of all the horses that you're going to be riding next week, which is your banker, would you say? Does it have to be Thistlecrack?
I'm in a very lucky position. I've got a lot of good rides next week. Obviously Thistlecrack, be many ideas, people's idea of the banker. The other one we haven't, I think, got a great chance. The next sensation, the Grand Daniel, he's only a pound higher than when he won it last year, and you know, he's got a good record in that race. Obviously, he's very back it up, win back to back Grand Daniels, but I think he's got a chance too. So he's next sensation and Dinas be the sort of bigger price chances that I'd have next week. But Thistlecrack is obviously the star of the show for me.
Well, Tom, thank you very much for your time this evening, for joining us on our Cheltenham preview here on Radio Yorkshire. And the best of luck next week when riding at Cheltenham.
No problem at all, Bobby. Nice to speak to you. Take care.
Likewise, Tom. Take care. You know what? Just before we talk about the World Hurdle, Jim, what a gentleman Tom Scudamore really is.
Without question. I've done a lot of media work with Tom. He's always been extremely good. But then his father's the same, and his mother. And they're a very well-regarded and successful family.
And we talk about Thistlecrack. He's currently the favourite. As we heard there, Tom's very excited to ride him. You know, on paper, he is the one to beat, but can he get beat, Gareth?
On what I've seen so far this season, I don't think he can. He seems to be going from strength to strength at an absolute rate of knots, and he was breathtaking in the Cleve Hurdle. I know it was very testing ground at Prestbury Park that day, but he was one of very few horses who seemed to accelerate on that afternoon, and he really did quick and clear. And if he puts in a similar sort of performance, he by far and away is the one to beat here. We're still not overly 100% on what's going to turn up. We know that Thistlecrack, of course, will. I thought of the others, Alpha Dezo Beau, who, as Tom alluded to there, he was looking held by Thistlecrack when they met in the Sefton at Aintree back at last season. But Alpha Dezo Beau in that race was the only horse to put up any sort of fight to Thistlecrack before he came down. And if you're looking for something against Thistlecrack, he'd be the one who I think will get into the money, because he's a good, honest horse who comes into the race on the back of a decent prep run.
Yeah, it's interesting that Alpha Dezo Beau wore cheek pieces last time, because the time before he got beaten by another of tomorrow's run, another of Wednesday's runners, trained by Gordon Elliott, called Prince of Scars, who's a horse who's improved from handicaps this season. But the worry about him is most of his very good form does appear to be on really soft ground, you know, very, very testing ground. Although it might be on the soft side at Cheltenham next week, I don't think it's going to be bottomless. I thought Gareth made a really good point. The point about Thistlecrack is he's not just got good form, he's improved every time he's run this season. And last time, it wasn't just a fine performance. It was visually spectacular. And as he said, if he turns up in that sort of level, he'd be very, very hard to beat.
And you know what, Jim, I can't agree more. When I said to him just there, when I watched the race, I was watching it in the press room at Doncaster, and in that home straight, it was very heavy ground that day. They had a big inspection, and in that home straight, it just pulled clear, and it got quicker and quicker and quicker on atrocious ground.
When you're in the press room at Doncaster, you're usually stuffing your face with cake. So don't tell us that.
I think I might have had a piece of cake in my hand, chomping while I was watching the race. So let's look at some of the rivals as well. We mentioned Cole Hardin. Cole Hardin won the race last year. Was well beaten the Rakeel Herder when we last time we saw him. Better ground, maybe, do you think, Jim?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I mean, he won the World Hurdle last year, as we've said. He then ran a very good race to finish second at Aintree. His reappearance when third to Thistlecrack wasn't a disaster, but he was disappointing last time at Cheltenham, where he was only third of eight, well below form. So he's got to bounce back. He's had a breathing operation. With his running style, you know, he's a front runner, as a lot of Warren Greatrex's horses are. He is sort of there to be shot at, and the way Thistlecrack runs, I don't know what Gareth thinks, I think he just might give him a really good lead for a long way.
Yeah, I'd agree with that from what we've seen so far. So, yeah.
Great stuff there. So that's the thoughts about it, Cole Hardin. What about Saphir de Ruhr? This is an interesting one for me in the famous Big Bucks colours. Now, he was second in the race 12 months ago behind Cole Hardin. He's not really been performing this year. Well beaten in the long walk behind Thistlecrack. He was beaten by 31 lengths. What's our thoughts and opinions on Saphir de Ruhr, Jim?
Well, he's got worse with every run this season, and he's another that's had a breathing operation. As such, if we get soft ground, it won't bother Thistlecrack, and it might favour one or two of his rivals as well. But generally, Bobby, when a horse has a breathing operation, as a generalisation, it won't happen with every horse, but most horses that have had that aren't at their best on really bad ground. Mm-hmm. because it's harder work for them to cope with softer conditions, and obviously puts more of a premium on breathing. So Saphir de Ruhr, as you say, talented horse last year, got it to prove this time around, particularly after a poor run at Ascot last time.
And the 2014 winner, more of that, beating Annie Powers, 2 from 2 since his return. Gareth, what do you make of more of that's chances?
In this race, or... he's not going to be going for this race, is he?
He's entered, but Gareth's right. John Joe Neal announced on Monday that he is going for the Royal and Sun Alliance.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right, I will put a big line through that then. I'm scribbling out my notes there. More of that. Not running in the World Hurdle. Now, before we move on to the champion chase, I want a tip from you for this year's World Hurdle. So, if it is Thistlecrack, I want a forecast from you. So I'm going to push the boat out. I'm putting you both on the spot. Jim McGraw, you've got a fantastic strike record here on Radio Yorkshire.
I've got a fantastic record in your tipping competition, though, that's for sure. No, I'm not going to give you a forecast. Listen, if you get a winner off me, you've done well. Thistlecrack will win.
Cool, then give me an each way. An each way.
Well, I'd like to see the ground. I'm not trying to be difficult. When I do things like this, I do them for real. I'm not just going to throw tips out willy-nilly. I've had three bets at Cheltenham. We'll tell you those later. But in this particular race, Thistlecrack, he's a short price, but he's entitled to be, and he'll win.
Gareth?
I think if you're looking for an each-way alternative, I think Alpha Des Oboe does fit the bill. I think he'll be in the frame, Alpha Des Oboe. I don't think he'll beat Thistlecrack. I don't think anything will beat Thistlecrack. But if you're looking for an each-way alternative or a forecast, then stick Alpha Des Oboe in.
And don't put more of that in. He was thinking of cake again.
And I'm going to go from Thistlecrack to win. And in my forecast, I'm going to give another chance to Cole Hardin. I'm expecting a revival. Better ground, bigger field. I'm expecting a better performance from him. So I'm going to say Thistlecrack to win and Cole Hardin to maybe make up a forecast, or should I say make up the placings just to come. But that's quite good at covering myself up there, isn't it?
I think if you're trying to do forecasts, Bobby, it's time for your medication again.
Fantastic. So that's our thoughts and opinions. Also, thank you to Tom Scudamore as well. Tom has very kindly given up his time on his way back from Carlisle to talk to us about his chance at Thistlecrack, who we say is currently the favourite for the World Hurdle. Great to have Gareth Topham and Jim McGrath's thoughts about other potential runners as well. Now, moving on, gentlemen, it is... we're going to look at the Champion Chase now. So we're going to look at the Champion Chase. A great race to look forward to. Jim... Undersell, another great performance, surely, is on the cards for him.
Yes, he's another short price favourite. And some of your listeners who are racing fans will say, well, they're talking about horses with obvious chances, i.e. Thistlecrack, and Patrick Mullins took us through Duvan, and now we're on another one in theory that is impregnable. Interesting that Vitor has been left in at the five-day stage, though all the vibes seem to be that he will go for the Gold Cup next Friday and not this on the Wednesday, because Vitor would be a serious rival to his stable companion. The only negative about Undersow is he's fallen twice from seven outings over fences. They've both been first time out, and he's a very exuberant horse who can over-race. If you're going down to Cheltenham next week, don't be upset if you see him dripping with sweat. Mm. He has earplugs in to try and keep... He's a real hyper horse. He's a bit like you, Bobby.
I can see that coming there for a second.
He always runs a bit free. But like you, Bobby, he's got serious ability as well. And he was very good at Ascot last time in a race that has got as much quality, almost as much quality as the Champion Chase. And if he reproduces that level, he'd be very hard to beat.
Yeah, he made all, didn't he, to win the Clarence House Stakes at Gareth, beating Cider Grugier.
Yeah, he did. Again, it was one of those races where he was let loose on the front. And I think it's important to note that next week, probably for the first time in his career over fences, he's not going to be granted that pleasure, because we've got the likes of Special Tiara, who can go from the front. And if they ditch the more sympathetic tactics that they've been sort of applying to Sprinter Sacroblade and go the old-fashioned way of letting him bowl along, Undersow could have his jumping put under pressure from a very, very early stage. And for me, that's the only way anything else in this race is going to get Undersow beaten, is by pushing him from a very, very early stage. If they let Undersow go, like has been the case in all of his races over fences so far, provided he jumps, they won't catch him. So for me, it's going to be a fascinating race tactically, and it's not really for me a betting race, because whilst I think Undersow is the likeliest winner, I think it's going to be an absolutely fascinating watch, a fascinating few minutes, and it could turn out to be a very exciting race. It could be a race where we have a boil over if we do have a few of them taking Undersow on at a very early stage and they all fall in a hole. A couple which I sort of picked out at bigger prices, the likes of God's Own. We'll be speaking a little bit later on to Paddy Brennan, who should be getting the leg up on that one. And Felix Younger, if he goes for it, he's another very, very useful horse who might just be one of those who sits off the pace, and it might not be a bad thing in a race which could be run at a frenetic pace. It's going to be a good gallop on here, but how many of them are forcing it is another matter.
You know, when I was studying the form earlier on for the Champion Chase, I had a look at it, and I looked at Sprinter Sacra, And I thought to myself, you know, it's a shame that it's not 2013 with the Sprint Sacre. Now, don't get me wrong, since his comeback, he's made an absolutely outstanding return. He won that Grade 2 at Cheltenham. Everybody got excited, including myself, watching it at home on TV. He followed that up by winning the Desert Orchid Chase at beating Saïda Grugie. I would love to see him win. I really would love to see Sprinter Sacre win. But I've got my doubts. As I say, if it were 2013, I think it would be a fantastic contest between Undersow and Sprinter Sacre. Jim, as I say, I'd love to see him win. He's got a good record at Cheltenham, but he may just come up a little bit too short.
Bobby, you got to take... We're trying to be po-faced and analytical here, and Sprinter Sacre has already had a go in a champion chase since those Salad days of 2013. And let's be frank, I've been racing professionally since I was 19. That's 42 years this year. And he's one of the best horses at his best, but he's a long way removed from that. He's at least a stone worse than he was in his heyday. He was pulled up in the race last year. He got a lot of weight when he won at Cheltenham on his reappearance. Okay, he battled well to beat Saïda Grugie, but he just isn't the same horse anymore.
Does he need to be, Jim, do you think?
Well, the various scenarios you've outlined, which, you know, are good points to make. If Undersow gets his own way, I think he probably will be need to be somewhere near his old form to win. If, as you have implied, could happen, two or three of them take each other on and they all cut each other's throats, then maybe no. But even so, I mean, we've got the interesting question, Gareth, of Saïda Grugie, a past winner, who's going to wear blinkers.
Okay.
Gary Moore said he's seriously considering putting blinkers on him, which just might sharpen him up. I mean, you're either an Undersow fan, it will win, or it's too short and he might fall. I'm going to take him on. I'm in the former camp.
You're in the form. What about you, Gareth?
I think he's the likeliest winner, but it's not a race that I'm going to be betting. It's a race I'm going to watch and enjoy.
We need to talk about dodging bullets purely because Paul Nicholls would say that this was his best chance of a win at the Cheltenham Festival. He won the race last year, was well beaten at Newbury when beaten by Top Gamble. First run for 11 months. Jim, dodging bullets. How did we rate the performance against Top Gamble?
Dire. Well, it was actually flagged up in the betting. I mean, he was odds on the morning, and I mean, he drifted like the Contiki in the betting. And okay, it may have been first time out, and he was giving weight away to everything, so maybe judging him harshly. But you're talking about a horse that less than a month later, or approximately a month later, is going to contest the champion chase, and had a big up from Paul Nicholls. I mean, he never looked like winning at Newbury, so he's got a lot to prove. It's not impossible. I know I worked with Johnny Frankham, who's a good pal of mine. I worked with him for many years on Channel 4. He seven times champion jockey. He thinks this is the best each way bet at Cheltenham next week.
Really?
Dodging bullets. He said it was appalling ground and he'd forgive him Newbury.
Gareth, what do you think to that bold statement from Mr. Frankham?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's a really decent each-way price, you know, if you wanted to follow John Frankham in. Again, for me, I think the champion chase that he won last year, I mean, it was a substandard renewal. I mean, he beat Summersby, who I think might be turning up again. He could be one of those who sits off the pace. I think he's running at his seventh Cheltenham Festival. You know, he's getting on in years a little bit now, Summersby, and dodging bullets. Had to work to get the better of him. So I think it was quite a weak champion chase. I don't think he's the greatest champion chaser I've seen in the last 10 years or so, and it's got to be a little bit concerning that he came back to Newbury and performed as he did. If he bounces back, and he's definitely entitled to, the ground you'd imagine is going to be an awful lot better at Cheltenham next week. They had a bit of a deluge yesterday, but the forecast is dry from here now all the way up until the race is going to take place. You know, he could bounce back, but as I've already said, it's not a race which I'll be emptying my pocket for.
Not a race for you then. Now, just before, we're going to play a song in about the next minute or so, and then we're going to go into the news at 8 o'clock. So before we do that, I just want to get a tip from you. Now, I think we're all in agreement that Undersow is the one to beat, so I will ask again for an each way. Maybe. So, Gareth, I'll start with yourself. Winner, please.
I think Undersow is the likeliest winner.
Mm-hmm.
I think if three or four of them are vying for it over the first,
yep.
something could come from the back end of the field. Mm-hmm. And I'm really looking forward to speaking to Paddy Brennan in due course, because God's Own wasn't beaten too far by Underso in the Arkle back last season. And if this horse goes to the Champion Chase and he's ridden conservatively, shall we say, he could be one of those coming up the hill stronger than a few.
And Jim, a winner in each way. Do you agree with Mr. Frankham that Dodgy Bullets could be a crack in each way?
I can see Johnny's point. I don't personally, I don't like backing horses that have run badly, and I can't really explain why. If Underso doesn't do his stuff, I think Willie Mullins might well win it with Felix Younger, who seems better than ever. Admittedly, the races he's won in Ireland haven't been very strong lately, but I think Gareth agrees with me. He was pretty impressive in taking them. Quiz question for your viewers. We're talking about horses running at Cheltenham for a long, long time. Okay, he's just mentioned Somersby. Which horse ran in the Gold Cup 8 times? Before you were born.
Before I was born?
Yeah.
What era?
What era? What do you mean, what era?
60s, 70s?
70s.
70s. So I would have been minus 15 at the time.
Some might say you're still minus 15.
Yeah, I've not been thought of either.
Eight times in the Gold Cup.
He won it once.
He won it once.
Yeah.
Don't look at me.
No.
The Dickler?
I've heard of the Dickler.
Oh, yeah, so you're making me feel 100 now, are you?
Yeah. Great inside noise there from Mr. Jim McGrath. What were the years? What were it? 90, 70, 78, 71 to 79?
What, you want the years as well?
Yes, come on.
He's chucking it back in your ear, Jim.
I'll write them out for you afterwards.
Thank you very much, Stuart. We'll try to do that.
I know you won't sleep tonight until you know.
We can make money to use it for a competition later on to win some tickets. That could be quite a good quiz question, that.
Thank you.
Thank you, see? I've appreciated it.
The first lady to ride in the Gold Cup?
Oh.
So anyway, coming up later on, we have... coming up later on, I promise you now, this is not a history lesson, it is the Cheltenham preview. Looking ahead to the Cheltenham Festival.
If that's got an opinion, call up and tell us on 0113 277 5511. Give us both barrels.
Give us both barrels, eh? Yes, sir. Good evening. You're listening to Radio Yorkshire. This is the Cheltenham Preview with myself, Bobby Beavers, Gareth Topham and Jim McGrath. Now, just very quickly, before we talk to Paddy Brennan and look ahead to this year's Cheltenham Gold Cup, Jim, you've got some news about the Arkle.
Yeah, just flicking through the Racing Post website, we went to a break there, and there's some Philip Hobbs updates, most significant of which is probably Garde la Victoire, one of the, if you call them, main dangers to Duvan, because of course he's been back to the exclusion of everything else, in the Arkle, is now more likely to run in the JLT. Philip Hobbs reasons that sizing John, who's rated 150, who's rated 151, has been slaughtered by Duvan this season. Garde la Victoire has the same rating, 151, and Philip says if he's getting slaughtered, I think we should look elsewhere.
So Garde la Victoire then potentially running elsewhere. Thank you very much for that information, Jim. Now, we're going to look ahead to the Cheltenham Gold Cup now, and joining me is a man who's riding one of my favourite horses of all time. I very rarely mention this, and that is that's jockey Paddy Brennan. Paddy, good evening.
Hi, good evening, all.
How are you? You well?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you.
Are you looking forward to next week?
Yeah, I am. I'll probably have to wait till Friday to get a bit excited, but no, I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, let's look ahead to your mount on the Q card. This year, he's been a completely different horse. He's had a hat-trick of wins. He won the Charlie Hall. He went and won the Betfair Chase, beating Sylvain in Arco Conti. And then he went to Kempton on Boxing Day and won the King George. It's just been remarkable all season, hasn't he?
Yeah, obviously, I've been lucky enough to get the call up to ride him this season. And we went to the Charlie Hall, all guns blazing. He was trained very, very hard for that race. And I think it was a case of we were all going there to win. There was no sort of... We weren't thinking too far ahead than that. And what I learned from that day was just, you know, I was really taken away by the performance, by the feel. Just I learned so much about him, and he's got better and better, and I think he can be even better.
Hi, Paddy. Gareth Topham here. I think one of the key questions on a lot of people's lips with Q Card is just a mild concern over stamina. He appeared to be finishing in the King George. What was your take?
Yeah, as I say, going back to the first time I've rode him, he's crying out for a trip. You know, that's what's bringing the best out of him this year. You know, we all had a meeting at the start of the season. Well, are we going to go to the Charlie Hall, Ascot, or the Hall in Gold Cup? My first opinion was, you cannot run this horse in a Holding Gold Cup again. You know, you've done that the last 2-3 seasons. He's not a 2-miler. You're messing with his head. The further he goes, the better he is. And he needed every yard of it at Kent. But you know, deep down, I don't think we've seen Q Card at his very best in the King George. And the way he felt the other day when I rode him work was exactly how I wanted him to feel, and you know, we're going there full of confidence.
So do you believe, Paddy, the best is yet to come?
Yeah, I think there's a performance in there that we haven't seen yet. Yeah.
Wow, and he has got a good record at Cheltenham as well. He won the Champion Bumper back in 2010 at a big price of 40-1, beating Alpha Roth. He won the Ryanair back in 2013. So, you know, he does enjoy Cheltenham, doesn't he?
Yeah, that's massive. You know, lads will tell you there, Jim, and that how Cheltenham specialist is massive. You know, Imperial Commander, for example, he was at his best at Cheltenham. Q Card's the same. He was a difficult ride at Kenton, the track didn't suit, and that's going to be really in his favour. You know, Cheltenham is the undulations, the whole place. So, you know, that'll bring the very best out in him.
Paddy, Jim McGrath, how are you?
Hi, Jim, how are you?
Yeah, good, thanks. Paddy, you've been, you know, you've ridden a Gold Cup winner in Imperial Commander, who to me was a different type of horse, though he had good form at 2.5 miles as well. How do they compare as rides?
Yeah, they're quite different. Imperial Commander doesn't have the same sort of pace as Q Card. Like, Q Card is a lot more versatile. You can take your time, you can ride in midfield, you can make the running. With Imperial Commander, he was very much one-dimensional. You had to be very positive, aggressive, no matter what trip you were riding him over. And he just used to keep up that gallop, whereas Q Card has just got the... He can just get you in and out of positions a lot better. You know, you can put him wherever you want, and as a jockey, it's a dream, because if you ever feel yourself in an awkward position, you just make a little manoeuvre and he'll take you wherever you want.
And how do you assess his rivals, which are potentially running in the Gold Cup? Potentially we've got Don Cossack and Don Poley running the Gold Cup. We've got the likes of Jack Adam as well. Also, Smab Place line up in the field. How do you assess his rivals?
Yeah... You know, I only concentrate on Q Card. The rivals are there. You obviously, I know Vatour, Don Cossack, Jack Adam, Don Poley. Personally, I think on a good or bad day, there's two lengths between most of them. Vatour is obviously the exception. If he got the trip, he's going to be extremely dangerous. It's just whoever turns up on the day. Personally, I think Q Card's better, and I just think he's got that bit more pace, that bit more class, and I'm hoping he'll prove to everyone on Friday that he's a real deal.
And what other horses are you very much looking forward to riding next week?
Yeah, just obviously Taylor Guide, he won well the Betbright Chase at Kempton. Yes, he's gone up £11, but he's high in confidence. He's a horse who stays well. He likes Cheltenham, and he'll run well. Double Shuffle runs in the Novice Handicap on the Tuesday. He's been trained for the race. It's not a case of he's well in, he's not well in. He's just been kept fresh, and he's on. You know, to get in at Cheltenham now, you have to do your very best at all times, or else, you know, you won't get in. He's in great form. I ride a mare called Smart Talk for Brian Ellison in the 2-mile New Mare's Novice Hurl. They say Willie Mullins is a good thing, but you know, that's only one horse. She should be the best of the rest, and God's Own, I thought, would run a massive race each way in the Champion Chase.
Paddy, just for Yorkshire listeners, small talk, Brian Ellison, you mentioned, trained at Moulton. We don't have many strong chances from the north this year. On pure form, I take on board what you said that about Willie Mullins is Lamini. She has a serious jumping issue, I think, though there's no doubt that she's got plenty of ability as well. But Smart Talk's a horse that's improved a lot this season.
Yeah, very much a wonderful attitude. She's about 17 hands. She really covers the ground. I wish the race was tomorrow in a way, because obviously around here, I live near the race course, we've had a hell of a lot of rain. That would really suit her, but, you know, the race isn't tomorrow, it's next week and it will dry up. But she's got a rating of 149, which is higher, I think it's higher rated than Willie Mullins's. Like, she's a hell of a mare, and she'll give it her best, and whatever she do, she'll go down fighting.
Well, Paddy, thank you very much for your time here on Radio Yorkshire. The best luck at Cheltenham next week. And because he is one of my favourites, I wish you all the luck in the world at Q-Car. And believe me, I will be rooting for Q-Car to win his first Gold Cup and for you, sir, to win your second Gold Cup.
Thanks. Means a lot. We need the luck. Thanks very much.
You're very welcome, Paddy.
Cheers, Paddy. Thanks. All the best.
Paddy Brennan there talking to us about the chances of Q-Card, and also speaking to us as well about some of his other mounts. Jim, I just want to mention straight away, that was a bold statement from Paddy. He said, like, pretty much the best is yet to come from him.
Actually, yeah, it was bold, but he was also measured in the way he explained why. And, you know, people say animals can't think in the same way that humans can, but they certainly respond to patterns and to trends. And Q-Card this season hasn't been struggling. He's had a tongue tie on, which has presumably helped his breathing. As a consequence, he's relaxed and looked better than ever, and confidence breeds success. So Weatherby was a pretty good performance. Haydock was interesting, and that was the strongest chase either side of the Irish Sea at Kempton over Christmas, even though Paddy thinks his horse wasn't quite at its best, and it was still a very good performance to win. If he can step up on that, and if he stays, well, he's going to take one hell of a lot of licking.
Has he got your bet then, Jim, or are you looking elsewhere? Because it's quite a strong lineup.
It's a fascinating Gold Cup from the perspective that there's a lot of horses in form going into it, and you don't always get that. And in terms of form, there are, you know, you can see several different scenarios. No, Q-Card doesn't get my nod, maybe stupidly, because Gareth asked Paddy about stamina. Paddy has no worries on that score. I do. I'm not sure that he was actually finishing to some tune at Kempton. I think Vator was a case of him stopping as much as this horse and Don Cossack, who fell at the second last, actually sprinting home. But I could be wrong about that, because there's no doubt he is at least as good as ever this season in terms of form. But I wonder whether he will truly stay 3 miles, 2 furlongs.
If we talk about Don Cossack, the question I've got for both of you, Jim, I'll just start with you again. If he didn't fall, Don Cossack, in the King George, do you believe he would have won?
I'm not sure. I backed him. I think he might have, but nobody from the camp has said, oh, we definitely would have won. They've all said the same thing. He might have won. I think it's very interesting given his form, and over the last 18 months he's got better form than any of these a couple of times, right? That there's a strong rumour that Brian Cooper doesn't want to ride him. He's going to ride Don Poley.
And what's your thoughts and opinions? He is 3 from 4 this year, but what's your opinions on Don Cossack?
Yeah, I think if you're of the opinion that he would have won the King George had he stood up, then you have to really be with him over the two horses that fought out the finish that day, purely and simply because, well, he'd have got past them and it looked like his stamina was really coming into play over the other two. And this being a stiffer test of stamina, that's what you need. So of those that we've mentioned, I do think that Don Cossack next week will have the greatest chance over himself, Vator and Q-Card. But I think that Don Poley, so far he's a horse who's just, I mean, we saw him at Aintree, didn't we?
We did, yeah.
Back at the start of the season. And he shocked me a little bit at Aintree because I didn't think that track would play to his strengths whatsoever. Of course, it's quite a flat track, quite a tight track, but he jumped pretty well. He did what he always does. He raced lazily, but he's a real giver, this horse, and he only beats what you put in front of him. And I think it's the same with what Willie Mullins is thinking as well. We still haven't seen the best of Don Polly. We don't fully know what this horse is capable of at his absolute peak. There are a few people crabbing his win in the Lexus, and he wasn't that impressive, but he's never been that impressive. He's on and off the bridle throughout his races, but when it gets to the business end where it matters, you know, he just about gets his head in front, and I think he's got stamina in abundance. He comes into the race as a past Cheltenham Festival winner, which a few of them do, admittedly, but it's a huge plus. And RSA Chase winners have got a pretty decent record in the Gold Cup, and I'm going to take him to be the latest to make the step up.
So if it was Brian Cooper, then you would pick Don Polly over Don Cossack?
I would, personally. I don't know about you, Jim, whether it's something that you've noticed as well. I was watching back a few replays of Don Cossack's previous races. Does this horse hang a little bit under pressure?
Well, he hangs a little bit, and he also goes through a flat spot. That said, there's no doubt he is, when he gets the revs up, he's a really good horse. But, I mean, he rather lost his position in the King George. He was better placed than Cue Card for a circuit and then dropped the bridle. Now, he wears a tongue strap. Whether he actually, as we say in racing, just catches his wind, he chokes a little bit at one stage in a race before his wind clears and his breathing clears and he finishes to some tune, I don't really know. But it's a fact that in his races, he usually appears to go lazy at some stage. It is interesting to me that someone as experienced as Brian Cooper deserts a horse like him, who Timeform, say, for example, the ratings company in Halifax, West Yorkshire, say he's a stone better than Don Polly as we sit here now. And we haven't talked about Vator yet. I mean, yeah. What camp are you in with him, Gareth?
I don't think he's going to get home. The thing that bugs me with Vator, when this horse first sprung onto the scene a couple of seasons ago, when him and Faheen both won at the Cheltenham Festival for the first time, do you remember the reaction? It was all that Vator was going to be the speed horse, the one that's kept to shorter distances, and Faheen was going to be the one who'd be better over further. Now, I know it's changed. It hasn't panned out that way, and Faheen has become the superstar at the speed distances, and Vator is the one who stepped up in trip. But for me, the reaction, and it was from the connections as well, Vator's going to be the speed horse. Now they're asking him to be a Gold Cup horse. He palpably didn't get home as well as Cue Card in the King George. And for me, I don't think either of them are going to get home as well as a couple of their rivals in next week's Gold Cup. So I'm against.
Jim?
Well, I was in Ireland last week chatting to one or two of the Irish boys and doing a preview over there. We'll come to Hayley, because she was Hayley O'Connor's coming on later on, isn't she? She was there as well. And Davy Russell was teasing David Casey, who's one of Willie Mullins' assistant trainers, and saying that apparently he'd heard that Vator hadn't worked very well in a sort of public exercise with a horse called Gangster, who runs in one of the novice hurdles. Now, Gangster is apparently a good workhorse, and David didn't sort of rise to the bait and wouldn't answer the question. But I think it was interesting, the lack of support for Vator from Irish pundits. So I'm in Gareth's camp. I think he definitely didn't get home at Kempton. And even though going left-handed will suit him better, because he jumps away that way, it'll help him conserve ground this time around, I still think to stay the 3 miles, 2 furlongs is a big ask.
So, stamina a concern for Vator from both Gareth and Jim. They're both in agreement. We'll find out next Friday whether or not stamina will play a part. Let's talk about last year's second then, behind Konagree. That was Jackadam. Now, it was travelling strongly when he fell last time out at Cheltenham. Great performance last year from a six-year-old to finish second in the Gold Cup, Jim.
Yeah, I mean, he's been to Cheltenham 3 times, second in the Gold Cup and fallen the other two. And it was a sloppy mistake. And when he's tight to a fence, i.e. when he gets in close, you talk about horses making the effort, and the rider can only do so much. I didn't think the horse made much effort to help himself the other day. It was early on. You say he was going well, Bobby. He was. He should have been. It was only the 7th or 8th fence, you know, and he walloped it and down he came. Be fascinating to see if he accepts. What will Ruby Walsh choose? Vator?
Yeah, I think so.
You think he'll choose Vator over Jackadam? So he would, if he does, he obviously has no stamina worries. But Jackadam, to me, is an out-and-out stayer who's very well suited to soft ground. If we get those conditions, he could run well, but I'm a little bit worried about his jumping. Don Polly doesn't have the form as we sit here now to win a Gold Cup, but I think the test will really, really suit him.
And Jackadam, Gareth, are you a Jackadam fan?
I like the horse, as you said, Bobby. It was a terrific performance from him, wasn't it, to run so close in it last year. But as Jim said, he just appeared to be a little bit slovenly at that particular obstacle, and you can't afford to do that in the Gold Cup. Obviously, he didn't really do it in the Gold Cup last year, and hence why he's got so close to winning it. But on the back of that tumble, and a tumble is never an ideal prep going into any race, let alone a top class race, he's probably got a small question mark next to him. But it wouldn't surprise me whatsoever were he to bounce back and run a massive race, because he's the one who's been here before, and you know, he very nearly did it. He very nearly pulled it off last year.
And a horse what was eighth in the race last year that went on to win this year's Hennessy. That's it, Smart Place. Now, he won the Hennessy absolutely fantastically last November. We saw him in the Cotswold Chase as well, beating Many Clouds that day as well. Is Smart Place going to be slightly outclassed, maybe, Jim, in a Gold Cup, do you think?
No, I think he's got the ability to run a big race. He's not the most consistent at top level. He's very genuine on his day when things go his way. But whether he can dominate a Gold Cup like he did the Cotswold Chase, a smaller field, you know, and it was a fine performance to go into the Cheltenham Festival with, I think is debatable. He wouldn't be my idea of the winner.
Gareth, Smart Place.
Yeah, I mean, he dominated the Hennessy as well, didn't he? But I mean, this is a different calibre of horse off levels. I mean, he'd be a hugely popular winner, wouldn't he? He's a lovely horse, and when he gets into a rhythm, which he's done to superb effect pretty much all throughout the season so far, you know, he's a breathtaking watch. I just, yeah, render on the side of caution, the same as Jim with Smad Place. I think he's capable of running a big race, but when it comes to the crunch at the end of it, he might just be found wanting by a couple of these.
Any others we need to mention before we move on to the Champion Hurdle?
No, I don't think so. Just, you know, one or two pundits have sort of expressed concern over just to finish off Smad Place, the form of Alan King's horses. I'm not sure I fall in with that. I mean, he was having doubles and trebles sort of 3 or 4 weeks ago. It's a bit more sporadic now, but not that many of them run badly. We can talk about Mystery Code fairly recently, and also Pemba, but most of the others have been performing as their odds and their chances and the ratings suggest they might. So I wouldn't worry about Alan on that score. But no, it's Don Poley for me.
Don Poley for Jim. Gareth?
The same.
Have a guess who I'm going to tip. Have a guess, Jim.
Shall I get your cue card for you, Bobby?
Great stuff. Yeah, no surprise. I'm tipping cue card to win the Cheltenham Gold Cup. And also as well, if he does win it, a little stats as well. He'll be the first horse to win a bumper and then go and win a Gold Cup. So a little late stat for you there.
No, the Cheltenham Festival bumper.
The Cheltenham Festival bumper, yeah. The Cheltenham Festival bumper. And then to go on and win a Cheltenham Gold Cup.
And where did he start his career? Do you remember?
Where?
Yeah.
It was
in a bumper, but where was it?
At
He doesn't do history.
It was, I want to say, in fact, no, I'm not going to.
It's Fontwell Park.
Oh, is it Fontwell? I wasn't going to say. I was going to say Exeter.
Right. It's sort of in the...
I can remember when that won the festival bumper, Alice Plunkett, who lives down the road from the Tizards, and, you know, he knows the family very well. She came into our meeting the morning after it won the bumper. She said, I had £2 each way on that. She said, been working the house down. I said, why didn't you tell us beforehand? It won 33-1, didn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Very big price on the day there. So that's our preview of the Cheltenham Gold Cup. Also as well, thank you very much to Paddy Brennan for his time earlier on, giving his thoughts, his opinions on QCon. If you have just tuned in, this is the Cheltenham Preview live here on Radio Yorkshire, joined by myself, Bobby Beavers, Gareth Topham and Jim McGraw. I just want to mention very quickly as well what Paddy said earlier on. He says that pretty much the best is yet to come from QCar. So I'm very intrigued to see how it goes on next Friday. Now, from the Cheltenham Gold Cup, we're going to look ahead now to the Champion Hurdle. The Champion Hurdle is next for us to preview. Gareth, starting straight away with yourself. Annie Power supplemented for the race. We said earlier on we wasn't quite sure. A month ago, we wasn't quite sure if she was even going to make the festival. She was then going to go for the World Hurdle. Fantastic prep run. Now, Gareth, she's supplemented for the Champion Hurdle and she's the favourite.
She is. Very interesting, wasn't it, earlier on from hearing from Patrick Mullins. The bottom line I've got with Annie Power is, ultimately, this is an afterthought. You know, this wasn't the target. But now all of a sudden it is. She's come back after that long layoff. She won that three-runner race that she was entitled to at Punchestown. That would have, or was it Fairy House? It would have blown away the cobwebs anyway, wherever it was. And you know, she comes into this race as a mare who's been very, very unlucky at Cheltenham so far in her career. It's not really been her place. She bumped into More of That, who just outstayed her in the World Hurdle a couple of years ago. And as we alluded to earlier on, she had the race for the mares won last year when Jumping the Shadow.
She did, yeah.
So, you know, she is due a change of luck. Whether she can do it in, you know, the greatest of speed tests over jumps, albeit one of the weaker of the championship races throughout the week. I think this is one of the weaker ones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's open to debate, but she clearly does have a very good chance. The vibes from the stable are pretty strong. But I think Nichols Canyon could be a little bit of value against her. This possibly hasn't been his target all the way through either, but he is the only horse to have previously beaten Faheen. All right, maybe on favourable terms, Faheen was as big as a boat that day that he got beaten by this Nichols Canyon. But I think if they adopt positive tactics, and that's what Patrick Mullins sort of suggested they may well do next week,
mm-hmm.
I just think he might take a little bit of catching. For me, this horse, I think he'll be better on a slightly better surface as well. He's genuine, he's tough, and around about the 5-6-1 mark, I'm expecting him to be in the money.
Well, let's be honest, Nichols Canyon is beaten Faheen, you know, so it has beat Faheen. Jim, Nichols Canyon, is it one for you as well?
I certainly wouldn't rule it out. It's a very open race this year. Nichols Canyon was on my shortlist. Well, he was my nap last year going into Cheltenham for the Neptune. And he got a very positive ride when he won the Deloitte in the build-up to the festival last year. And then I don't think Ruby had a lot of confidence in his jumping to go and make the running at the festival. And he held him up in what was a silly race. And, you know, by the time he got going, it was all over. So that's that and his performance last time when you heard Patrick say earlier the horse came back and didn't scope clean are the only two blots on his record. So I wouldn't rule it out. I think it's a very close race on form, though, Bobby, and a lot will be down to tactics on the day.
What's caught your eye then, Jim? What's really caught your eye? We've got Identity Thief that won the Fighting Fifth last November, just beating Top Notch there. Top Notch is in the field. Peace and Co. as well. You know, he's drifted big time after what we've seen so far this season. You know, if you go back to what we saw last season with a very impressive Summit Juvenile hurdle race win at Doncaster, beating Starchitect by 19 lengths. You know, last year people were saying next year that's going to be a leading contender for the champion hurdle. Now it's as big as 20-25-1. But Jim, what else has caught your eye in this field?
Well, with regard to Peace and Co, which you spent, you know, a minute or so ago, will he even run? I mean, he's such a big price. At the moment, Daryl Jacob was down to ride the same owners, Top Notch, who you've also mentioned. So Nico de Boinville is actually jocked up on Peace and Co as we sit here now, but whether he turns up remains to be seen. He's had a breathing operation since his last disappointing run. There's no doubt he looked a good horse last year, but he's got a lot to prove now. The honest answer is I don't have a strong view about this race. Camping Ground is a horse that's dropping back markedly in trip. Can he win going back to 2 miles? Some pretty shrewd judges think he might be able to. Can Annie Power, getting £7 from the others, I think she's got the basic pace to do so, but I think she's a sloppy jumper. What happened last year has been threatening to happen once or twice before in a race. She's just a bit careless sometimes. She was 20-1 on a comeback at Punchestown the other day. She just walked through two hurdles. So, you know, as Gareth said, the race is an afterthought almost. So I'd be looking elsewhere. My Ten to Yours has never quite lived up to his lofty home reputation for all that he ran third in the race a couple of years ago. But last time out, it was probably a better performance than it looked at the time. He beat Raving Black, who's top weight in the Imperial Cup at the weekend, giving him £8. He was only workmanlike, but it was still not a bad performance. Maybe he can come good, but in all honesty, I haven't had a bet in the race and I won't be doing.
And a horse that is in this field is the new one trained by Nigel Twiston Davis. Now, up at Haydock, he won the Champion Hurdle Trial for...
Sorry, I mixed my horses up. I meant the new one there.
Oh, did you? The new
sorry,
one?
I beg your pardon, yeah.
Yeah, he won the race last year. He's thrown me off that. He won the Champion Hurdle Trial at Haydock this year. He won it last year as well, so he's won it for 2 years on the trot. I wasn't impressed by either performances, not last year, not this year either. In my opinion about the new one, I think he needs further. He won the Aintree Hurdle back in 2014, beating Rock on Ruby. If it was me, right, and people might disagree with me on social media, you two might disagree with me. If it was up to me, I would bypass the Champion Hurdle and I would go to Aintree and I would go there pretty fresh and I would go and compete in an Aintree Hurdle again, 2.5 miles, and I'll tell you what, if that were the case, I think he'd have a cracking chance of winning it for the second time, Gareth.
Yeah, I don't often agree with you to a massive extent, but yeah, I can definitely see where you're coming from with that. I'm just not convinced this horse is quite quick enough. He was undoubtedly unlucky the year where our Connor got in his way, and you know he was flying on up the hill, wasn't he? And he was sort of never nearer having been so badly inconvenienced. But since then, he's had a couple of goes. He hasn't looked to be quick enough. His jumping is hardly up to scratch as well, I don't think, for a race of this nature. I know he has won at the Cheltenham Festival before, but it was in a race over further than what he'll be running in on Tuesday, and you know, it was a slowly run affair that day as well. I'm just not convinced that this horse is quick enough, and by what we've seen so far this season, you know, that win at Haydock, which you alluded to, he doesn't appear to be getting any quicker as well. I know the ground was nasty at Haydock on that occasion, but for me, he's just not quick enough, and he doesn't jump well enough, Jim.
Well, he has had problems with his jumping, but he had kissing spines last year when although he needed treatment after that, which is amazingly painful and was causing him to jump right. The worry is that maybe at the age of 8 and after a lot of races, there's just no more improvement in him, and maybe he starts to turn the corner on the way down. But, you know, he was second to Faheen in the Christmas Hurdle, admittedly well beaten, but then most of these would be well beaten by Faheen. He did win at Haydock the other day, and he was giving £8 to a confirmed mudlark in Raven Black. So in a hard race, I'd put him up as a possible winner this year, but I don't have a strong view and I won't be having a bet.
Yeah, I suppose if he was going to win a Champion Hurdle, then you'd say this would be his year.
Yeah.
It's interesting because, yeah, I just think he should step up in distance and I'd run him at 2.5 miles now.
Think he'd have a great chance at Aintree.
Yeah.
He's already proven there, isn't he? So.
Well, he won it 2014, he beat Rock and Ruby, but as you just said there, you know, with what Jim was saying, putting up a good case that, you know, potentially this could be his year. If he's going to win a Champion Hurdle, you know, this is the year, but I do think he should bypass and he should go to Aintree to compete in that as well. Now, we're going to talk about the Ryanair briefly, but before we do, can I just have a tip for you from the Champion Hurdle? Jim, I know you've not got a very strong view about it, but if I said to you, what is your tip, what would you tell me?
Well, if you opened your wallet and gave me a tenner, I'd faint. but I'd stick it on the new one.
The new one?
Yeah.
The new one. And Gareth?
Nichols Canyon for me.
Nichols Canyon for Gareth. Right, I'm going to take a chance with Annie Power. And I know, you know, if we look at the stats there, she's 13 wins from 15, her two defeats have both been at Cheltenham. She's a very talented mare. She's been supplemented for the Champion Hurdle for a reason. And I think this is her year to finally win at the Cheltenham Festival. I think this is the year she can do it. So I'm going to go for Annie Power to win the Champion Hurdle.
So you're telling me off for tipping a horse that you say wants further now, and you're tipping one that was favourite for the 3-miler.
I think that's quite good logic, that. But to be fair, though,
who said anything about being fair?
But I know she's being supplemented. She's going to go for the Champion Hurdle. But why should running in the 3-mile then? Why should back in the World Hurdle?
Well, because Rich Ritchie has also got Vroom Vroom Mag, who he regards as having a strong chance, and Willie Mullins in the Mayor's Hurdle as well. So they've got a backup. And presumably, you know, some people felt that 2 years ago, maybe Rich Ritchie himself, that she should have run in the Champion Hurdle then. I'm not sure I agree with that myself, but some people do. And they had Hurricane Fly the stable, which wasn't Rich Ritchie's. And I think Willie Mullins was desperate to win another Champion Hurdle with him.
Gareth, what's your tip?
I'm going with Nichols Canyon.
Yeah.
I know you're a Peace and Co fan as well. If he does run in this, I'll issue a little bit of positivity about him from my point of view. I think this race will be run to suit him better than what he's running so far this season. He's a very keen going horse, Peace & Co. And I think this race will be run at a good old clip. And if it is, Peace & Co, I think, might just settle better.
Yeah.
And back on better ground as well, we might just see a better Peace & Co, but we'll need to if he's to get anywhere near them, because so far this season he's been abysmal.
And that's what Del Jacob said to me as well. He needs that faster pace. He said a faster pace, a stronger pace will suit him. Bigger field as well, that'll work in his favour. My only concern now, because I've stuck up for Peace & Co from the way go this season, I really have. My only concern now is what Jim was saying, and that is Del Jacob potentially is going to ride Top Notch and Nico de Boinville is going to ride Peace & Co. So that for me is Del Jacob's had the choice and he said, I'm going to ride Top Notch.
Well, on what they've done this season, Bobby, that's a sound decision, isn't it? One horse has been nothing like the horse we saw last season, and the other one, admittedly, bar on one occasion where he was disappointing, but has generally run very well. So he looks a better option.
I agree with you there. Now, let's look at the Ryanair, because we've got Hayley coming on in 5 minutes' time. And there's a horse in this field that I put on Twitter the other day, and I'm going to say it live now here on Radio Yorkshire. And that is, there's a horse running in this field that I think this could be his year to win at the Cheltenham Festival. And I might get a laugh from both of you, but I think this year it could be Joss's Hill's year. And I'm going to explain myself, right? I need to explain myself. I put in my notes, this could be his year finally. The performance last time out at Kempton was superb. It really were. That is the performance we have wanted to see for a long time from him. And it's a performance as well that he should be doing. He's got all the credentials to make a really, really great chaser. The record at Cheltenham as well, second in the Supreme back in 2014, third in the Arkle last year. I think if he can perform like he did last time out at Kempton, granted, it's going to be a lot harder, it's not going to be very easy. If he can perform like he did last time, I think this year can be Joss's Hill's year. Gareth, are you going to agree with me for a second time tonight?
I can sort of see where you're coming from.
You sympathise with me, okay.
Back last year when I called this horse home at Doncaster, you know, his jumping was very, very awkward. He didn't appear to arch his back. But as you say, Bobby, at Kempton last time out, he did look a completely different horse. For the alteration in tactics, they went very positively with him that day, and I think that was the making of him. And again, this race, out of all the big races at the Cheltenham Festival next week, this has cut up the worst. And I don't think it's going to have a very big field. And Joss's Hill, he's going to be at a decent price as well, I think, will be offered for him. If those sort of tactics again are adopted and he can get into that sort of rhythm that he did around Kempton, it's a very different track here, let's not forget.
Yeah.
But it is a track that he's acted around before.
True.
I can certainly see him. He's definitely got the class to go well in this. So, again, it's on his jumping. But if Kempton's anything to go by, he's brushed up on that somewhat.
And Jim? Joss's Hill, what was your thoughts and opinions about him?
Well, I mean, you know, I can see where you're coming from. You can't really judge him as a Cheltenham performer in terms of form on what he did in his reappearance. He did jump much better. He had God's Own to beat, but he's getting quite a lot of weight from him. But you have to say that the one thing that Gareth has touched on, his jumping, which has let him down several times in
the
past, badly so on occasions, certainly in that lower grade race, he did the job well enough. So it must have been a nice confidence booster, because he had a horrible fall at Sandown before Christmas. A really, really bad fall, a somersault. So that he came back is to the horse's credit. He's run well behind. He ran well behind Vittoria in the novice hurdle. He ran well behind Under So last year in the Arkle. So I think the horse has got plenty of ability. It's whether he actually enjoys the challenge of jumping fences at Cheltenham, and that's the rub with him. If he puts it all together, I wouldn't have said it was a daft bet.
Well, we've got 15 minutes left of our Cheltenham preview, so we'll talk about a few others with the Ryanair, then we'll get Hayley on the phone. So, Jim, what's caught your eye in this year's Ryanair?
Well, Alfaroff is a horse that's had lots of knockers. You know, oh, he doesn't win after Christmas and this, that and the other. But most jumping people will tell you that the best form this season over fences is the William Hill King George Chase on Boxing Day. Won by Q Card, with Vittor second, Alfaroff admittedly 13 lengths behind in third. But then you've got Smad Place, Don Cossack, Valsolido, Silviniarco Conti. They've all run extremely well since. So, you know, that was a decent effort by Alfaroff. This is not, as Gareth has said, quite so up to that level of a King George. He's been trained for the race by someone that knows him from his days at Paul Nicholls, that's Dan Skelton, and I think he's got a sound chance.
Gareth, what's caught your eye?
I'm going to take a bit of a flyer with this one, a bit of a bigger priced runner. As I said, I don't think there'll be too many runners. There could still be a little bit of pace on. Jim a moment ago was saying about horses that can get their jumping together around here at Cheltenham, and it is vital for any race. Village Vic. Now, I don't know whether he's going to run in this or whether Philip Hobbs and the team are going to opt for a handicap, which I think is a big, big possibility. But for me, this horse definitely deserves to take his chance in what wouldn't be the strongest Ryanair chase ever. He's improved so much this season. We saw him at Wetherby, didn't we? Right at the start of the season, where he gamely fought off all comers in that Bobby Renton handicap chase. And since then, he's gone to Cheltenham a couple of times, and he's won two Grade 3 handicaps over C&D. And, you know, he gets himself into a really good rhythm around this course. Richard Johnson rides him so well, rides him really positively. I know we've just said if Joss's Hill goes positively, that could be a bit of an issue, because they, you know, there is the danger that they might just take one another on. But I think at the likely prices on offer, and if Connections go boldly and run him in this, he's a horse I'd like to have on side. He's a really strong horse this season, and he's, like I said, he comes into the race on the back of three wins.
Village Vickers is going to be your tip, yeah?
Each way.
Jim?
Just should say, in analysing this, or trying to analyse it for the listeners, we should say that the Jigginstown, remember that's Michael O'Leary owns Jigginstown Stud, and he sponsors this race, Ryanair. He's desperate to win it. He's had second three times. Now, they have got several entries, Jigginstown, and this evening it's been quoted saying, we won't decide until nearer the time, but they have got Valsolido, who's some people are back for the Gold Cup. He's also in this, and also Noel Mead's horse, Road to Riches, who's also in the Gold Cup, but might be switched to this. So just we've given our fancies, but don't back them at the minute, even if you agree with us. Just hold fire and see the makeup of the field, because it could change quite significantly.
Very wise words there from Jim. So just hold back with certain selections. Obviously, no surprise, I'm going to go for Joss's Hill. I do believe this could be his year. Now, we've not got very long left of our Cheltenham preview. I hope you join it while you listen to us at home. You've got myself, Bobby Beavers, Jim McGraw and Gav Topham. Very shortly, though, we're going to be joined by Hayley O'Connor from Ladbrokes, as she'll be giving us all the latest betting with Ladbrokes on the races we have covered tonight. We'll be back after this. Yeah, so we have live commentary of every Leeds United game. You can join us on Saturday as well when Leeds United do take on Blackburn. Join Mark Wilson and Greg Abbott for full match commentary of that game. Well, if you've just tuned in, unfortunately, you missed a fantastic show. We've had lots of fun looking ahead to some of the biggest races at the Cheltenham Festival. I've been delighted to be joined by Jim McGraw and Gareth Topham, and joining us now is Hayley O'Connor from Ladbrokes to give us the betting on what we have spoken about tonight. Hayley, good evening.
Good evening, Bobby. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm super, and I just cannot wait to get over to Prestbury Park. I'm currently in Dublin. I'm leaving for the UK on Saturday, and I'll hopefully be there at the crack of dawn on Monday to see all the horses going out to stretch their legs ahead of the big week ahead.
Absolutely fantastic. It's very exciting now. It's going to be a few sleepless nights for me. Anyway, looking ahead for the Cheltenham Festival. Now, let's get some betting from you. We interviewed Patrick Mullins earlier on. He spoke very highly of Dovan in the Arkle.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody thinks that Duvan could possibly be the best horse that we've seen since Arkell, and certainly I spoke with the Irish handicapper Noel O'Brien, and he thinks he could well succeed his rating. He's currently 5-2 on with us. It's not every man's price, but he's definitely one to pop in a multiple and maybe team up with another horse in one of the handicaps later on. He's taken our breath away so far in what we've seen in him. Certainly, I saw him run in the Racing Post Novice Chase over in Leopardstown, over this side of the water at Christmas when he was run. Patrick rode him that day. Thought he was good that day, but I thought he was stunning in the Irish Arkle. And horses like him are the reason people go to Cheltenham. Just give you goosebumps.
And what's your betting with the rest of the Arkle with Ladbrokes?
Well, nearest to him in the betting is Vanito at 5-1. Henderson's horse. He's taken very well to fences. Sizing John, Henry de Bromhead's horse, is 8-1. He's been third to Duvan previously and second to him twice since going over fences. Garde Le Victoire is 14-1. There's been nibbles about for him. Lamy Serge is 16. One that just might be worth considering at 12-1 is a horse called the Game Changer. I think he could be a lively outsider, and he comes to Cheltenham off a hat-trick of Grade 3 wins on good ground, and the important thing is he's coming here fresh, so he might not particularly be in people's minds, but certainly one for the each-way bet, possibly.
And what's your betting with this year's World Hurdle, Hayley?
Well, the World Hurdle, it looks an interesting renewal. Thistle's Crack, it's very hard to oppose on paper. He's currently even money. Annie Power is probably going to go to the Champion Hurdle. Until she's out of the World Hurdle, she's currently 3-1. Vroom Vroom Mag, more likely to go to the Mare's Hurdle. So that sort of leaves us with Alpha Dezo Bo at 6-1. And Alpha Dezo Bo, actually, some people might argue, certainly his trainer, Mouse Morris, would argue that he might have actually beaten Thistle Crack in the Sefton at Aintree, only he quite a bad fall. But he won last time in Ireland over in Goran Park. Last year's winner, Cold Harden, 7-1. He's yet to have the ground that he probably likes, even though he's been beaten twice this season. Saphir Dura, 7-1. Different gravy, an interesting horse. He's currently 8-1. More of that, 12-1, probably destined for a different race. Nichols Canyon has done amazingly well over here. He's currently 12-1. A bigger price, if he's got a bit of rain, worth mentioning, Prince of Scars, who comes off the back of a Grade 1 success. He's about 20-1.
Fantastic. Well, we are really short on time now, so can I just ask you for the latest betting with Ladbrokes, please, for the Gold Cup and the Champion Hurdle?
Yeah, well, the Champion Hurdle, so Annie Power, as I mentioned, she's currently 7-4. Identity Thief, who's a horse that's going to really progress, he's currently 5-1. Nichols Canyon, who beat Identity Thief in the Ryan Heron Hurdle in Ireland, 11-2. And the new one, 6-1, with My Tenth Yours, who hasn't been seen for a while, and it's 16-1 bar. And then going over to the Gold Cup pinnacle of the whole meeting, John Cossack, 4-1. Vitor, some people say he's not going to stay the trip. I think he will. He's 9-2, second favourite. John Poley, who needs so much encouragement, he's currently 5-1, but his brilliant course form. Q Cards also there at 5-1. Jack Adam, 11-2. He has to overcome that big fall that he had. And then it's Mad Place in at about 12-1.
And just very quickly, what's the situation with Ladbrokes and the non-runner, no-bet situation?
Everybody can have a bet at Cheltenham without the worry of their horse not running, because we're non-runner, no-bet for all races now. So people have been keeping their powder dry. Now's the time to kick on. I'm so excited, and I just can't wait to see. And the good thing is, Bobby, we know which horses are going to which races at this point. So, you know, it's that's been a little bit confusing. Still, with races like the Ryanair, the JLT, the RSA, some horses have multiple entries for that. But certainly on day one, we know what the shape of the fields are going to be like.
And it's going to be absolutely fantastic as well. Just to echo what you've said, Ladbrokes are no runner, no bet on all 27 races at this year's Cheltenham Festival. That is with Ladbrokes. Hayley, thank you very much for your time, and I will look forward to seeing you next week at the Cheltenham Festival.
Thank you very much, Bobby. Look forward to seeing you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Hayley. Bye-bye. That's Hayley O'Connor from Ladbrokes. Now, we've only got a couple of minutes left, so I just want to quickly ask Jim, have you got a banker for the festival, please?
I can only tell you what I've done. I've had 3 bets so far.
Yep.
I bet Altior in the opening race of Supreme. I bet Polly Peachum, because I think she's completely the wrong price. She might not beat Vroom Vroom Mag, but I backed her in the Mare's Hurdle. And I've had a little bit each way on Jaleo in the Fred Winter.
Thank you very much, Gareth.
I agree with Jim on Altior. I've also backed Altior. I think Bristol Demay is a superb bet in the JLT, and I've looked to the Fox Hunters. Provided it stays dry, I think Paint the Clouds is a knocking each way price to improve on his third placing in the race last year when conditions went against him.
Yeah, well, I think my banker of the festival, I've said Yanworth from the start. I know we've not looked ahead to the Neptune, but I have said it, Yanworth. So Yanworth for me. I think Thistlecrack will win the World World Hurdle, and I'm very much looking forward to that. So they were my two. I know, like, they're very, very short in the betting, but there wasn't when I picked them. I will just say
the
that.
Shrewdy that you
just
are.
Just selling right, gentlemen, we've got 45 seconds left of the show. Gareth Toppin, thank you very much for joining us
thank
here.
Thank you, an absolute
Gareth Toppin,
pleasure.
Race course presenter, and also Channel 4 racing presenter Jim McGrath. Jim, thank you very much for your
Lovely
time.
Lovely to be here, Bobby. Always nice to work with you.
Likewise, thank you very much. It's been a fantastic show. We've had so much fun. Hopefully, we've tipped a few winners along the way as well. We need to go and calm down. We've had so much fun. I think it's time to have a chamomile tea now. I think it is fair to say. Thank you to everybody out there for tuning in, whether you've listened on DAB Radio, online as well, wherever you are in the UK.
It's all right, we're getting his carer.
Thank you so much. It's been absolutely fantastic. Enjoy Cheltenham. I'll be there live on Radio Yorkshire. Goodbye!